and to lead and to guide us, and on this journey as we serve the Lord. You know, we cannot do this journey without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, you know, I will not leave you as orphans, but when I leave, I will send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the comforter, the guide. The Greek word is the parakletos, the one that comes alongside us to lead us and to guide us, who is our defender. Thank you so much, Maritha and Francis, for that wonderful... Can we just thank them again? It's great also to have some first-time visitors with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. And just so you know, we have a complimentary meal for you straight after the service. And we'd love for you to join with us today and get to know you over a meal in the cafe just down there. We'd love to have you with us. So please make your way down there afterwards, and we'd love to see you after today. As my dad mentioned, you know, Patrick Watkins came 2 weeks ago to my house after the Sunday service. And he brought us food. He brought us food from, we normally have food here, so he brought it to my house. He doesn't live too far from us. And he popped in. He knocked on the door. I came to the door, you know, wearing my UGG boots and my PJs. Like, who's knocking on my door on a Sunday morning? You know, no one ever knocks on the door on a Sunday morning. Anyway, it was Patrick. And Patrick, he's got the same hairstyle as me. But anyway, Patrick goes, oh, Patrick, what are you doing? He says, oh, I brought you some food. Next minute, he grabs my head, rubs his hands all over my face, and then he rubs his face. Yeah, I was sweating. I had like a bit of a fever. I said, Patrick, what are you doing? He goes, no, I want to get COVID. So why do you want to get COVID for? He goes, oh, and I'm going to New Zealand in July, and I want to get it over and done with. And he's got COVID. Bless you, Patrick. But COVID's no joke, is it? Man, it's no joke. I had COVID 2 weeks ago. Still trying to find my legs. But jelly legs, my feet again. But yeah, we do pray for all those people right now. I know it sounds funny, but that's just how Patrick is. You know. And then he did that, and then he just walked off. Didn't say a word. I was like, oh. What a crack up that Patrick is. Anyway, this morning, it is really great to be celebrating this day of Pentecost, and very important calendar in the calendar of the church. You know, we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Easter, and we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. It's one of the main festivals that we celebrate from Scripture and from the Old Testament. And we'll look into that a little bit this morning, into a bit of the history on why this morning we are talking about Pentecost Sunday. But as you all might be aware, we are doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And today is our fourth week in this Holy Spirit series after we did a series on Jesus leading up to Easter. And then after Easter, we've been doing this six-week Holy Spirit. 1, 2. There we go. Sorry, I turned myself off. So the first week, we looked at Jesus when he promised the Holy Spirit, didn't he? You read John 14, John 15, John 16 and 17. You see how Jesus spoke about the promise of the Holy Spirit. The second week, we looked at the person of the Holy Spirit. We then looked at the work of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Pete spoke on the person of the Holy Spirit. Last week, I spoke on the work of the Holy Spirit. And that scripture in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says that we are saved by the Spirit. We're saved by the washing of, and the Holy Spirit saves us in two ways, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That's how we are saved. By the washing of regeneration, taking something which was old and broken and making it new, and then the continuous renewal through the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, through the convicting us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, right? That we read through Scripture. The Holy Spirit also, his work is to remind us. If you went to Connect Group in this last week, the study was talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is here to remind us of what Jesus said and the work that Jesus did. I love that. Next week, this week we're looking at Pentecost Sunday, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Next week we'll look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Dave is going to be sharing on that. And then we're also going to be looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So a fantastic series that's going to lead us all the way through this term. I encourage you yourself, during this week, why don't you look into Scripture, have a deep dive, and look at what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit has always been... My thumb has got its own mind today. It keeps turning this microphone off. I'm going to turn it around. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, doesn't it? Right from the beginning, where was the Holy Spirit? Was hovering over the depth of the deep. The Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit was part of that graphic design team, wasn't he? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven created this world. It's beautiful. So this morning, we're going to particularly focus on Pentecost Sunday, which it is. And as I said before, traditionally, the church has celebrated Pentecost Sunday 7 weeks after Easter Sunday around the world. So it's a 7 week period, which is about 50 days after Resurrection Sunday. And we know, for example, the Greek Orthodox, they don't celebrate Pentecost Sunday today. They work on a different calendar. Theirs is in a few weeks' time. But for mainstream Christians around the world, today, the 5th of June is the day. 5th of June today? Yes, it is. The 5th of June is Pentecost Sunday, which we are celebrating. Just before I launch into this morning, just something which was advertised, is next Sunday night, we're starting a 3-part series. We haven't done Sunday nights for quite a while, because of COVID particularly. But the Lord put this on our heart, to look at a series on how do we manage our emotions in a godly way. You know, I think COVID really has brought up some quite emotional stuff in our lives, particularly around the areas of anxiety for some, even frustration for others. And as you know, quite often, what does frustration lead to? Anger. Yeah, anger. They say anger is really the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? There's all these other emotions underneath. But how do we deal with strong emotions? How do we deal with strong emotions, which we all have, in a godly way? There actually is a godly way to deal with strong emotions, and we're going to pull those from Scripture. And over 3 weeks, it's going to be a wonderful time. We're also going to do, after the session, we're going to do a sausage sizzle this Sunday night and have a bit of a bonfire happening out the back there. It's going to be next Sunday night, sorry. It's going to be a wonderful time together as well. All right, so fasten your seatbelts. We've got a fair bit of Scripture to read this morning. Click, click, click. And before we do that, why don't we just commit this to the Lord? Well, Lord, we've come this morning, and it's been a wonderful time up until this point as we've just worshipped you and declared that you are worthy. Lord, regardless of how we're feeling or what's going on in the world, you are worthy. That's why we sing, as Maritha led us this morning, I exalt thee. We exalt you, Lord. We lift up your name because you are worthy. Worthy. Jesus, you are the only worthy one. He was able to unlock the seal, to untie the seal. It was you, Jesus, the Lamb of God. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you are worthy to receive our glory and our honor. And Lord, excuse me, as we read these scriptures this morning, Lord, we want to bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, he is worthy. He's worthy. Amen. Worthy of it all. It's getting warm in here. Calm down, Priscilla. You've never seen me take my jacket off before. Wow. Jeez. Get a grip, woman. All right, so this morning, Pentecost Sunday. Come on, Priscilla, focus. Okay, I know you're hiding. I'm causing you to stumble right now, but focus, all right? I feel your pain. All right, so 40 days after Resurrection Sunday, we know that Jesus went to be with the Father. It's called the Ascension. Remember that? The Ascension? 40 days after. And then we know 10 days after that is when the Holy Spirit was poured out in a tangible way on the day of Pentecost. That's why the word Pentecost is what we have today, because it means in the Greek 50. Pentecost, I'll tell you the Greek word, it's the word Pentecoste. Pentecoste. It means the 50th day. And interestingly enough, in the Old Testament, we know that what they would have was they would have a feast. It was actually called the Feast of Weeks, because what they would do is they would celebrate the Passover. Remember the Passover? Remember what happened there? During the Exodus, we know that Moses, he would go to Pharaoh, and we have the 10 plagues. And the last one, the 10th one, can anyone remember what that was? The killing of the firstborn. Remember that? Through the stubbornness and the arrogance and the hatred that the Pharaoh had in his heart, he had been warned by the Lord, he'd been warned by Moses and Aaron, but his heart was hardened. And it needed something dramatic before he would let God's people go. And we know that the Lord instructed Moses to tell the people to get the blood of a spotless lamb and put it on their doorposts. Remember that? And then what happened? We know that the angel of death came over and it killed all the firstborn in every house that did not have the blood of the lamb on the lintel on their doorpost. The firstborn in that home unfortunately died because of their disobedience to God. So 7 weeks after the Passover was called this Feast of Weeks. It was 50 days as well. And it was during this festival of Passover that Jesus actually went to Jerusalem, wasn't it? And he was actually prophetically, as that blood was put on the doorpost, Jesus gave up his life during Passover. It was the Passover feast that Jesus died on that weekend. And then 50 days directly after that, the Holy Spirit is poured out. Isn't that incredible timing? You say, wow, did Jesus plan that? Well, I don't know, but it did happen. Pretty amazing. So just some historical insights for you into Pentecost. If you don't know much about it, some pretty awesome stuff from Scripture we read and from history. There are three things we need to know about Pentecost to help us understand Acts chapter 2, which we're about to read. Firstly, Pentecost was a pilgrim festival. So we know that in Jerusalem or Israel, they had many Jews which had fled from Israel or Jerusalem and went to other parts of the world. It's known as the diaspora. The diaspora of the Jews is when a lot of them facing persecution under the Roman emperor, they left Jerusalem. Jerusalem was being held captive by the Romans. A lot of the Jews left, and they went to all parts of the Mediterranean and all parts of the world. The reason why they call this a pilgrim festival is that many of these Jews would return to Jerusalem for this incredible festival. The Feast of Weeks, it was called. So, it was during this time that so Jerusalem would have been clogged full of people. There would have been so many people during this time. And we know that Pentecost actually was a public holiday, like we are celebrating this weekend. No work was done during this holiday. And we are blessed tomorrow to actually have the day off as well, which I'm really looking forward to. And I'm sure you are as well, a bit of a sleep in. And geez, wasn't it cold this morning? We drove into here. Josh was on music, so we had to be early. And it was 5 degrees. When we left our house, it came up on the dashboard, 5 degrees. So during this time, it was a celebration. Sacrifices and offerings were made. And we know that on Pentecost, the high priest would take 2 loaves of freshly baked wheat bread, and he would offer them before the Lord as part of this festival of weeks. So, don't you love that smell of freshly baked bread? Doesn't that smell great? When you walk past the bakery and they've just got a fresh batch of bread in the oven and it comes out and that beautiful smell. So the priest, he would bring these two loaves of wheat bread and present them before the Lord. And they would thank the Lord for his abundance in providing a harvest. So this festival was associated also with the harvest as God blessed the nation with a harvest to share amongst themselves. So this is the background to this day of Pentecost. 50 days after Jesus had gone away to his Father. Sorry, 10 days after Jesus had ascended to heaven. So we read together from the book of Acts chapter 1. We've got it on the screen there. Thank you, Max, very much. It says this. This is Paul speaking. Apologies. This is Luke speaking. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he wrote the book of Luke. In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all the things Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. What was one of those commands? Well, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do everything I've commanded you to do, and I will be with you. Maranatha, I'll be with you until the very end of these days. Those are some of the last commands or the words of Jesus, which Luke is referring to here. After that, it says he presented himself alive to them. We know during that 40-day period, after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. And that's where Jesus was going to go, right? Back to the kingdom of God, to heaven. And this is the number one thing that Jesus spoke about while he was on the earth. He spoke about the kingdom of heaven. Many of the parables we read in Scripture is Jesus referring to the kingdom of heaven. Why? Why did Jesus do this? Well, if you think about this, it was his point of reference, wasn't it? It was where he had spent the majority of all eternity before coming to this earth. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. It was what Jesus knew. Talk about having culture shock when we go to another culture. But imagine Jesus coming to this earth, being surrounded by sin and worldliness and disciples who are arguing about who's the greatest. And then Jesus says, oh, the kingdom of heaven is like children. And he uses those analogies. That was Jesus' point of reference. And we know John the Baptist, who came before Jesus, he came speaking about repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, didn't he? And then Jesus brought salvation through his life. Verse 4. Thank you, Max. Happy birthday, Max. Max is 26. That's a great age, Max. And while staying with them for the 40 days, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. So Jesus had spoken about this before he went up to heaven. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We go to verse 6. For when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? So they were thinking maybe that Jesus would come like Moses did and be their political head, be their governmental head. They still had this messianic expectation of Jesus, but that's not what Jesus had come to do. He had come to bring a different salvation for them. In verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So important that Jesus said that. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood there in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?" In other words, get on with the job. "This Jesus who was taken up from heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Isn't that awesome? There's so many awesome parts of the scripture I could talk on this morning, but we'll be here all day, so I won't. But I'll just focus on a couple of things before I read the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts chapter 2. I love this about the disciples. Even though they had no idea what was about to happen, they still were obedient to what Jesus had said to them. Isn't that a good place to be in? Even though you don't know exactly how things are going to be turning out or how things are going to work out, but still to be obedient to Jesus. Still to be obedient to the Lord. What did it look like for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on them? Jesus said, "Go and wait in Jerusalem, and not many days from now, I will pour out my Spirit upon you." They had no idea what that was going to look like or what that was going to be like. No idea. Had never seen it before. But Jesus here says, as you go and as you wait on me, as you go and as you pray, as the disciples come together, I will pour out my Spirit upon you. I mean, who here this morning loves waiting for things? Not. I don't like waiting. I'm an impatient person in a line. When I'm standing, especially when I go to the Department of Transport on Coburn area there to pay my rego or transfer a vehicle across, you go there and you stand and there's only a queue out the door. And then there's a lady standing there next to the machine and she says, "Oh, what do you want to do?" I said, "Well, I want to transfer this vehicle or push this button." You push the button, get the ticket, and you look up on the screen and your number says D116, and they're calling D105, and you know, wow, there's 11 more people in front of me, not to mention all the other categories. There's the C category, there's the F category, there's the G category, and there's only two people at the counter. And then I just want to walk out and come back another day. And then you wait and you sit and you wait for, I mean, the last time I went there, I waited for 45 minutes. And then they even lost my number. It didn't come up on the screen. It missed me out. Skipped me. Yeah. And I was like, wow, Western Australia, come on. We've got billions of dollars. Put three more people working on these counters and we'll sort this out, Mr. McGowan. Anyway. But I'm an impatient waiter. But imagine the disciples. Day one, yeah, it was all cool. You know, all the boys are back together, probably having a good talk. And wow, man, did you see Jesus go up? Wow, beam me up, Scotty. Zoop, up Jesus went. And then these two men were there. They would have been blown away. They would have had a lot to talk about, right? Then we have day two still. You know, there's that excitement of, yeah, we're waiting for Jesus to pour out the Spirit. The Spirit, we don't know what it looks like, but it's going to be exciting because Jesus said it. Day three, day four. You probably think about day seven, they're probably going, maybe Jesus meant something else. Maybe he meant to, you know, go and wait at home or go wait somewhere else. Or maybe he means in like 10 years' time or 10 months, but they had no idea of how long it was going to be. But what I love about them, and I wrote this down in my notes this morning as I went over this message again, that when we are obedient to the Lord, that's when he unlocks momentum in our lives. We did a whole series on this actually 2 years ago. Obedience to the Lord unlocks momentum. You know, sometimes you feel like you've lost momentum in your life. Have you ever felt that? You just kind of feel like you're not moving anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Momentum is a movement of going forward, isn't it? That there's other place to be in where you're stagnant, where you're not moving forward. It can be frustrating, can't it? And I remember somebody once saying to me that I was having a chat to, it was actually our Bible college principal. His name was Pastor Ashley Crane. I studied at Harvest West Bible College for 4 years. I did 4 years there. And I was speaking to Pastor Ashley, and he was a wise man. He still is a wise man. But he used to talk to me, and we used to have these chats, and what a wonderful guy. And I remember him saying to me, Luke, what is God saying to you? It was coming near the end of my 4 years of study. He said, what is God saying to you? And I said to him, you know, I just don't know what God is saying to me right now. So then he said to me, Luke, what was the last thing God said to you? I was like scratching my head a little bit, going, geez, what kind of answer am I going to give this guy, you know? And then he reminded me, and he said this. He said, Luke, sometimes the Lord is silent when he has asked you of something, not even to do something, but just to transition in some way in your life in particular areas. And when you aren't obedient, he's waiting for you to do that last thing he asked you to do. Maybe that's why he's been quiet. Have you ever found that in your own life? Maybe we lose this momentum when we stop being obedient to the Lord. There's so many examples in Scripture you can look at, but one in particular is the person of, I just forget his name, the guy who got taken by the big fish. Jonah, that's the one. Sheesh, Luke. It's Priscilla. She distracts me. Anyway, it's those boots. But Jonah is a classic example of disobedience to the Lord and obedience to the Lord, right? You know, God tells him, go to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go because he knows that there are evil people there and disobedient people and people who aren't going to listen to him. And then what happens? He gets taken by that big fish. Remember, he jumps overboard and taken by that fish. But then he does go, doesn't he? He does go in obedience to the Lord, and his life begins to change. It's the same with us at times. You know, sometimes we have to go through that belly of the whale experience. It's not fun inside those gastric juices, and, you know, whales don't eat very nice smelling things. But imagine being inside that belly of the whale and getting vomited out on the beach, you know. Wouldn't have been fun, along with all the sardines and everything else. But sometimes we put ourselves in those positions just like the prodigal son did. The prodigal son did the exact same thing. He found himself eating the food that the pigs ate because of his disobedience to the Lord and to his father. So that's been a key in my life. That the Lord has spoken into my life, and I've written that down so many times and reminded myself that obedience to the Lord is the key for me moving forward with my life, with my family, with my marriage, with my parenting, with my role here at Heart City, with being a good neighbor. It's the key. Obedience to the Lord. How are we obedient to the Lord? Obedient to the Lord by reading His Word and by being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Being led by the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. All right, so we read on here in Acts chapter 2. It says this, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, don't you love that word? Suddenly, there came from heaven the sound like a mighty rushing wind. Would have been awesome. Would have been like a jet plane. Did anyone watch the Queen's 70th Jubilee? And the jet plane coming over, all those airplanes, and the little boy holding his ears, little Louis, her grandson. It would have been an incredible jet plane kind of a sound. It says here that it filled the entire house where they were sitting. This is them after sitting there and waiting for 10 days. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. So like these little blazes of fire on top of their heads. When they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, remember they had already been saved before this and received the Holy Spirit as the seal of their salvation. And now they have this distinct second experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was for a purpose, wasn't it? We'll read on. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what happened on the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We know that this day was a fulfillment of prophecy. This is what it was. Because the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 verse 1, it says, as the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled. See that? What was being fulfilled? What was being fulfilled? What was prophesied before in the Old Testament from John the Baptist and also Jesus. I'll read to you, because we don't have time this morning to read all the Old Testament prophecies concerning this. You can do that yourself this week, but John the Baptist, this is what he said. He says, I indeed baptize you in Matthew chapter 3. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what Jesus, that's what John the Baptist said of Jesus. We read here, 10 days, the day of Jesus' ascension. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father unto you. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Acts chapter 1 verse 5 says, and John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I love that there, that the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit was to give power to the believers. Why? Because they needed it, right? They needed this power from on high to be witnesses, to take the gospel, to make disciples in the name of Jesus. They needed the Holy Spirit's power to do that. I love how it says there in the book, we read it just before, as the Holy Spirit clothed them, it says they'll be clothed on high with the Holy Spirit. It's almost like Elijah in Scripture. Remember, he had that tunic that he wore. He had that garment. And then he passed it on to Elisha, didn't he? A mantle. Here we see this being clothed on high by God to do his work. And that happened on this day of Pentecost as this group of 12 men came and sought the Lord, and he clothed them from on high with the outpouring of Holy Spirit. For the young people here today, maybe a good way to describe it to you is thinking about, and I mentioned this last Pentecost Sunday actually, was the Marvel character Iron Man. Remember Iron Man? So we know Tony Stark from Stark Industries. If you've seen the movie Iron Man, he was just a normal person. I mean, he was smart. He developed weapons and all this kind of stuff. But it was only until he put that suit on and he got that internal core battery thing, whatever it was called, solenoid, dynamo, that he was able to fly and he was able to do extraordinary things and join with the other Marvel characters and do their different things. It was only until he was clothed with that garment, with that suit, that's the one, suit, that he could do the things that he couldn't ordinarily do as a normal man. It's the same with us. We can't do the things that God wants us to do in our own strength, can we? You might have tried, but you can do only so much in your own strength. That's why salvation is not something you can achieve on your own, is it? It's not by our works of righteousness, Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, that we are saved. It's not by our works of righteousness that we are saved, but by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That's how we're saved. It's the same way as we are to carry on the work of Jesus. We cannot do it in our own strength. We need supernatural ability from the Lord to be doers and hearers of Him as we make disciples in His name. So firstly, from this book of scripture here, we know this was the fulfillment of prophecy, this day of Pentecost. It was power for believers. And thirdly, it was the beginning of the church, which Pastor Pete said earlier. We know that this day of Pentecost was when Peter preached. We see many are saved and baptized. And we know that over 3,000 men were saved that day, not to mention the woman and the children were added to the church. Isn't that amazing? So we know that this was the beginning of the church. We know that up until this point, the Jewish Christian believers, the people who believed and received Christ as their Savior, would still go to synagogue, the Jewish synagogue, on Saturdays. They would still go there. But after this, we see the church reorganizing. And now these Jewish Christians following the Messiah would start having their own separate gatherings. It only happened after the day of Pentecost in an organized kind of a way. So you can see how important this was. And fourthly, we see that there were signs following this day of Pentecost. We see Peter preaching with boldness and courage. We see him doing incredible miracles and wonders and signs. We see Stephen, the deacon, and Philip, and these apostles and deacons are going out sharing the word and the Lord doing amazing and miraculous signs. This was a significant day. This just wasn't another day on the calendar of the church that they celebrated. It was an anticipation and an expectation that Jesus would do what He said He would do. As they waited on Jesus and the Father for the Holy Spirit to be sent, that's exactly what happened. Can I encourage you this morning? Can I challenge you this morning and challenge myself? You know, are we waiting? Are we waiting on the Lord every day? Are we taking that time aside to wait on God, to hear from God, to be continually filled with the Spirit? Are we waiting on Him? Are we taking the time out to hear from Him? As we read His Word, the Spirit works in with the Word to teach us and to show us and to reveal to us the things that God wants for us. But one of the most simple and, how do I put it? One of the most simple things we can do becomes one of the things we least do, isn't it? We can get so distracted in this life that we pay very little attention to seeking the Lord and spending quality time with Him, waiting on Him as these apostles did in Jerusalem. Can I encourage you this week? Can I challenge you this week? Take the time to wait on the Lord. Take the time to wait on Him. Ask Him. You know, this infilling of the Spirit didn't happen in a church meeting, did it? No, it didn't happen in a church meeting. That they were filled with the Holy Spirit with the ability to speak in tongues. That didn't happen in a church meeting. It happened in a setting where they were just simply waiting on the Lord and being obedient to Him. I love this. We see here that there's the supernatural ability. We see that Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it says, "And these signs shall follow those who believe. In My name they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues." That's Jesus. That's what Jesus said. In My name they will cast out demons and will speak with new tongues. In the name of Jesus, that's what they did. You know, this supernatural ability to speak in this language, this heavenly language, they did not know. It was something foreign to them, but it's something that the Holy Spirit brought into place And obviously the Lord had seen that this was so important for this to happen. So this morning, church, as we just finish up our service, can we all stand together? And I know this morning I've relayed a lot of information to you of what Scripture says about Pentecost Sunday, about the coming of the Holy Spirit. But it's way more than that. It is an experience as well. And we're reluctant to talk about experiences these days. But as you can see, this was a tangible, significant experience that was separate from their salvation at that time. And you know what? It can be the same for us 2,000 years later. How does that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who is poured out. What is our role? Well, Paul says to eagerly desire the gift of the Spirit, of the pouring out of the Spirit in your life. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. I eagerly desire that you all might speak in tongues and prophesy and have these gifts of the Spirit as well. That comes as the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. Not only that we can be a witness, but also a gift to the church. So the church can operate, yeah? That's what Scripture says. And next week, we might look a bit more into that in the following weeks. But you know, this morning, just as Maritha leads us in a song, can we just humble our hearts before the Lord, wait upon Him, and eagerly desire. Maybe you have not had this experience of being filled with the Spirit. Maybe today's that day for you. Maybe it's something you've been eagerly desiring. I believe today might be your day where God pours out His Spirit on your life in this way, as we've read this morning, as God has done this all through the ages for His purposes. This is not a weird experience. This is something the early church knew was part and parcel of being a disciple of Jesus, as they followed in what the Lord had told them to do. So we're going to sing a song now, and I just ask, just where you're standing, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but just where you're standing, just say, Lord, fill me